Hey everybody, this is Jean Tien and welcome to another episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic, where we discover authenticity and its intersection with our definitions of success. Today, I am joined by guest Laura Weigle, who is a former special education teacher who ultimately became a jewelry designer when she decided to pursue a holistic route in finding a cure for her son, William. Laura first learned about crystals over 11 years ago from her acupuncturist, who used them during treatments on herself and her son. Her goal is to provide beautiful crystal jewelry using natural crystals and gemstones known for their healing properties in her jewelry so more people would have access to their healing benefits. And so today, I am so excited to have this opportunity to have Laura join me today. And so I wanted just to share that, you know, this is a very special episode for me. Laura and I actually have never met before in person. And so we met online through Instagram, through mutual connections. And I really loved her story as I learned more about her and the reasons that she started her business. And so welcome, Laura, so much. And thank you for making time to join us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to talk to you because we have never met in person before.
Yeah. And it's so, and this is what social media is about, connections. Right. And I love it when it can come to these, you know, connections that are just really beneficial for everybody. So why don't you share with us a little bit about yourself? I had provided an introduction in terms of how you found your way into jewelry design using natural crystals, but how you started off as a special education teacher, which you and I have talked about in the past before.
Well, I'm the oldest of four children. And the youngest, my youngest brother has something called Angelman syndrome, which we didn't know exactly what he had when we were younger. We just knew that he had some disabilities and it looked like CP and mental retardation. And it wasn't until my mom and dad divorced and my dad actually started dating a special education teacher who was in school getting, I think it was her her master's at the time, but she was taking a genetics class. And she told us, she was like, I think Stephen has something called Angelman syndrome. We were like, wow, because my mom always told us that he was an angel. He was sent here to teach us, you know, compassion and humility and to never take things for granted. So it would be interesting if he actually had Angelman syndrome. And then we found a geneticist that lived, I think it was in West Virginia, that specialized in Angelman syndrome. So we had Stephen. My youngest brother's name is Stephen, and we had his blood work sent to this geneticist in Virginia. And sure enough, Stephen has Angelman syndrome.
Wow.
Yeah. And at the time, I was getting ready to start college. So I don't know. I just had seen my mom fight so hard for Stephen, and she was a parent advocate, and she would do parents and policies in Indianapolis and just all kinds of things, you know, because the kids, they just, if you didn't know the law as a parent, your kids would get shuffled to the side was what we saw. So I just saw that fight and wanted to be on the other side of it, you know, somebody that saw both sides, but was doing in my mind right for the kids. So that's how I got into special education.
That's amazing. And mm-hmm. It's such a powerful story as well, because, you know, our stories, our truths, what our experiences really empower us. But it also, to your point, that your brother Stephen is an angel. He was here to teach the individuals around him, you know, his family, about so many different things, right? And it's so interesting too, in the sense that the education and the experiences that you have had from him probably really it kind of fuels everything that, you know, there, it kind of fuels a lot of who you are and what you've, you know, what you've experienced, right? Or what you believe in today.
Yes, absolutely. And it just shows how one person, even one nonverbal person, can change an entire community, you know, yeah. and the trickle effect that we have. For example, my mom's best friend at the time was a speech pathologist, and then she was also a professor at the college. In the town that I went to was Ball State University, and her name was Patty. And Patty started something called the I Can program, which meant that these kids can work. So if you had to go into a group home or assisted living, you would have a job. And she worked with different stationery companies so that everybody could find a job that they could do. For example, Stephen, my brother, did stamping on the envelopes, like for Christmas time, Christmas cards, mm-hmm. things like that, you know, so that they could do something. And I feel like that was just a trickle effect of who Stephen's mom was, who Stephen's sister was, and how Stephen had ended up having a voice through us.
Yeah. And a purpose too.
And a purpose and for sure.
Yeah. It's so important. And so now, Laura, would you mind sharing with us how you moved or why you moved away from special education into jewelry design, specifically using crystals, because it's such a powerful story as well. And I certainly would never be able to tell it as well as you do.
Well, I was teaching special education, obviously, for a while, and I was in a very different district than what I was used to in Indiana. And I went to Colorado for a while. So I was in Las Vegas, and they did things differently here. We had a lot of kids and I had a lot of responsibilities. I was the liaison for every speech IEP for every IEP at the school. They call it out here being a facilitator as well. So there was a lot of responsibility, all the IEPs, all the kids. And at that time I was having trouble getting pregnant and I had just gotten married and I wanted a family of my own. So I was going through fertility treatments, and I remember at one point I was in the recovery room from a retrieval. My fertility doctor would put us to sleep when they would retrieve the eggs. And I was waking up, and there was a girl sitting next to me, and she was a PT in town. I was like, oh, so we kind of talked about our background and special needs, and she said that what had changed her fertility issues was going to an acupuncturist. So I started doing that. I started taking a more holistic approach to my fertility, and I started looking at mind, body, spirit, why mm-hmm. I couldn't conceive and what was really going on underneath the layers. And I realized for myself that I was very stressed and right. I had to take a step back. So I took a leave from the district. And I just focused on myself. And I'll never forget how nice it was to go on my walks and walk by the school that I should have been at, because I also lived in the neighborhood that I taught. And I would look at the kids outside and I was like, gosh, it feels so good to, I don't know, just take a breath, you know?
Yeah.
walk. So that happened. And once I started seeing Dr. Kimberly Sperling, which was my fertility or the acupuncturist, I did conceive. And it took right away.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing because I'd had five in total. So I'd had four retrievals before then, four fertility treatments before then. Right. And it was very minimal. You know, for example, the girl, the PT, which is a physical therapist that I was sitting next to, the doctor would come over afterwards and say how many eggs they retrieved. And they told her like 30 or 40. And then when they came to me, they were like, we got three, but they're three good ones. So obviously I didn't have a lot for them to work with because I had endometriosis. So they took, it was really great. I didn't, you know, have to go through losing the babies, which a lot of my friends that did fertility mm-hmm. issues, they lost so many, and the grief that went around all of that.
Right.
But what they did do the last week before I was supposed to go on to my regular OBGYN and a high specialty one was they told me baby A looks good. And then they said, and baby B looks good. My husband and I were like, what does baby B mean? Like, we had no idea. So that kind of changed everything. We went through so excited, so grateful. I don't know if you've been, I know you've done podcasts on fertility before. I don't know if you went through that yourself, but there's just such a deep level of gratitude when you try so hard, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to do everything perfect and the baby, but plus being a teacher, you know, I had all the books laid out and everything was just so organized. And then, so I had the babies, very, very healthy. My sister also had twins and had a different experience.
Wow.
Mine were, you know, 37 weeks, over 6 pounds.
It was, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was very, very lucky. And then baby B, which was William, our surprise baby, the day after Christmas 2008, he aspirated and it lodged in his throat. So we didn't see it. We thought he was just sleeping and it caused a severe brain injury.
Wow.
So, and at this time I'd still not gone back to work because I wanted to take the year with the babies and spend that year with them after Will's brain injury, which was quite severe. Oh, and then in the meantime, right before Will's brain injury, I found out I was pregnant for the second time.
Oh, wow.
This time naturally. I found this out when Will and Katie were only 5 months old.
Oh my gosh. I mean, talk about everything. I know. Happening and I was at once.
Like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm very excited, but I'm a little bit overwhelmed.
Right.
You know, I was like, and I didn't even think I was pregnant. I was nursing. It was very odd, actually. My mom was staying with us, helping with the babies. My mom's like, "You're pregnant." I was like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, I don't know. She goes, "I'm just telling you, I have a feeling.
Oh, interesting.
You're pregnant."
Interesting.
I was like, "Why? I don't understand why you feel this." So she was like, "No, I'm insistent." So I went down to the closest Walgreens. I got a pregnancy test. And she was so insistent that my sister was there visiting too. We were all just watching. I peed on the stick and it literally turned two lines before I could take it out of the stream.
Oh my gosh. You were very pregnant then.
I was so pregnant and it was so unbelievable because the doctors were like, "There's just no way." Anyway, so then that happened. And then, you know, Will had his accident and I was pregnant when it happened. So it was very just emotional and trying. And
Yeah.
We went to LA and stayed there basically until Jackson was born because William was at a rehab center there. William had severe seizures, not severe. It was mild. It was 30 to 50 an hour. So they were really small. Like his eyes would kind of collapse. His hands would come in. They call it something. I don't know why I'm forgetting right now. But anyway, we took William twice to Germany for stem cells that they retrieved from his own body, from his bone marrow.
Okay.
And his seizures completely stopped. He's never had one since.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. And were the stem cell, was the stem cell treatment specifically targeted for the seizures?
No, at that time it was so experimental and the neurologist that was doing it, what we do know about stem cells is that they naturally migrate to the most damaged areas of your body.
Oh, and interesting.
Just naturally, that's where they migrate. They put Will's in his the brainstem area. So we knew that they were going to go to the brain.
Right. Okay.
The problem is that you lose a lot along the way. So it's always how much it will help and treat. But it totally took his seizures away to the point where his neurologist explained it to me that seizures or to the brain, the way an earthquake is to the earth, that every time there is an earthquake, it leaves a mark on the earth, a vault line.
Oh, wow.
So there's always a record of it.
Right.
And every time we have a seizure, it leaves a line, it leaves a mark in the brain. There's a record of it. So even if you had seizures as a child, you grew out of it, you would get an MRI, you would still be able to see those little vault lines in the brain from previous seizures. Will's disappeared after the stem cells. There's no record in his brain that he even had. So that was healed for him, the lesions in the brain.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that was very amazing.
So amazing, yeah.
That was a miracle in and of itself. But after that happened, I started to think instantly of my acupuncturist again. You know, I felt like she working with me on a deeper mind, body, spirit level helped me to conceive. And so I instantly thought of her when Will had his accident. And
okay.
She was so kind. She would come to the house, actually, to needle Will. She knew that he wasn't in a place to come into the office. So she'd come into the house with the needles to work on Will, but she also brought crystals. And Will was so young at this point. This was actually before the stem cells. And seeing his reaction to even when a large clear quartz point came into the room or a large amethyst was just amazing to me.
Oh, wow. Like, what were his reactions? Like, how would he react to them?
He would cry.
Oh, interesting.
He would cry. He would become very emotional. It was too, especially clear quartz. And then lighter, bluer crystals, smaller crystals, selenite, angelite, those blue lace agate, he would calm down.
Oh, interesting.
Clear quartz was way too much for him.
Right.
At that time. So it was interesting to me because I had no idea Kim was even going to bring crystals with her. And then looking back in retrospect, I kind of remembered when she would needle me. She was an amazing acupuncturist. She wasn't like one where you go in and get needled and they walk out, you know, and leave the fluorescent lights on in the room. She had aromatherapy going. She took you through a guided meditation that she intuited for you while rubbing your head. She also not only needled you, but had crystals lying on you, which I'd kind of forgotten about until she brought the crystals in with Will.
Okay.
So she used more than just the needle. She, in my mind, was a true healer.
Right.
And so seeing the way Will reacted to the crystals was just remarkable. It was something I'd never thought about before. And I remember when Kim and I were talking about the crystals, it intrigued me. And a book fell off my bookshelf about crystals. And I was like, wow, I don't really remember buying that book or remember that book. But obviously I bought it at some point for a reason. So I just went down a huge crystal rabbit hole, basically.
Yeah, that happens with crystals, I find.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. And that's why I wrote, you know, my book about them, because the books I have, they're great and there's a lot of knowledge, but I don't know if it's my personality, but I was always like, well, how do they know it does that? Well, how do they know? And then you would read some of the books, you know, and the,
right.
It's like three paragraphs long. I'm like, wow, this crystal literally does everything. So I guess I was just a little bit skeptical.
Right.
So I started working with them one at a time. And that's first actually where the journal came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then the book came from just the five top crystals. I felt like really just narrowing it down for people. And here's the basics on what I found it to help. Because then I started doing my own healing work with the encouragement of Dr. Kim and actually the jewelry too.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we took Will to Germany, she was like, why don't you make these bracelets and do a fundraiser to help pay for the trip to Germany? Mm-hmm. And then I had a girlfriend in town that is a massage therapist at the Four Seasons. And then the Four Seasons contacted me and they're like, well, we want to carry them. And some of the yoga studios in Las Vegas, you know, were like, we want to carry them. And then I realized I better get a tax ID number and figure out
small
business thing. And then I would go back to my old elementary school, which was really fun, and set up in the teacher's lounge, you know, and sell the jewelry instead of doing the teaching.
Right. Instead of doing lesson plans, I'm sure selling the jewelry and explaining what they are about and how they can help heal is just so much more interesting. It's teaching, but it's just on a different level.
It is. But I do struggle sometimes because, you know, like we've talked about before, there's especially out here in Vegas, there's a lack of teachers. There's a lot of long-term subs right now. There's both of my boys are in special education. Jackson has autism and Williams had a long-term sub all year. His aide pretty much does everything, which thank God she's remarkable. Oh, but wow. There's a part of me that's like, I don't know. I'd probably make a bigger difference if I went back. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. So with the crystals, did you find, so like in terms of Will's response and also your use of them in your healing, now, did you find that it, like, you know, how did you find that it worked for both of you in the sense that, like, you know, did his and yours responses to them change as you healed one layer, you know, or as you
evolved
to a certain different. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting now, like when my clients come over, they'll ask, well, what crystal do I need? I'm like, you know what crystal you need.
Right.
So a lot of times I'll let them pick.
Mm-hmm.
With their left hand, and it changes over time. I mean, William, for example, now can definitely tolerate clear quartz. Jackson, he will actually come and get me. I wouldn't say Jackson's nonverbal, but he's not very verbal.
Okay.
But Jackson will come and get me. He'll lay down on the massage table and say, "Crystals, please. I need them."
So and cute.
It's so cute. So, you know, and I work with them in so many different ways, like with the crystal grids, and they just change. You know, sometimes I'll almost feel repelled by a certain crystal that I used to need to wear a lot.
Right.
And then, so I'm just drawn to different ones. I guess it's about being really in tune.
Right.
And what you're going through at that time, like a holistic medicine, I guess you'd be different. You know, when you're pregnant, you need a prenatal vitamin. When you're not pregnant, now I'm over 40, I need the over 40 vitamin.
Yes. Oh, although I haven't taken any, but yes. Although I should, I just haven't taken any. But yeah. You know, and it's so interesting because as I'm sitting here listening to your story, Laura, you know, and, you know, looking for the connection or asking for the connection between your story and the goal of this podcast, which is to really look at authenticity, right, in terms of our success. Like what really struck out at me in terms of what you shared so far is this concept of energy. And I think you and I believe very strongly in energy. We can, you know, we work with it, right?
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people out there who aren't as familiar with energy. And I think, you know, there's many more who subscribe to this, I think, rationale or logic that if they can't see it, they don't necessarily believe it. Kind of like similar to what you were saying before about the pre-authored books or the other books about the crystals that you had. And, you know, but I think that the stories that you have just shared about both Jackson and Will so perfectly demonstrates that they are fully communicative, just not in the way that you and I are used to. That their communication is very much in the form of energy. And I think that, you know, we have, I think each of us are capable of doing that as well. It's in whether or not we, you know, it's almost like whether or not we will allow ourselves to be receiving, in receipt of those communications.
Yes. I mean, think about when you walk into a room after somebody has just gotten done arguing compared to you walk into a room after, you know, somebody just had a really good conversation and connection made. It just, it feels different.
Yeah.
And I think we have to think of energy in terms of play and being kind of like kids again and setting up little experiments for ourselves. You know, that's what I did. For example, I was talking about how Dr. Kim did use the crystals on me in the beginning. I just didn't pay attention to it and I wasn't aware.
Right.
One of her assignments to me when I left her office after being needled from Dr. Kim was to get rose oil and rub it on my heart chakra and my sacral chakra and then get a piece of rose quartz and lay it on my heart chakra and take a bath. And then I was to envision energy flowing freely in my uterus. And that's an experiment to do, right?
Yep.
It's just kind of like play.
Yep.
And it felt different to me, you know?
Right.
It really felt different to me. I could feel things moving. I could feel the stuck energy in the sacral chakra because I was open to I was backed in a corner. I tried everything science-wise I could try and it felt natural for me to go back to this because I was actually so interested in energy even into high school and college. Oh my gosh, even when I first started teaching, I would end up doing like readings for the teachers before they would leave.
Oh, interesting. So then is your mom also intuitive? Yeah. I was going to say, is your mom also very intuitive as well?
She is. She was kind of the one, I guess, who first introduced me to everything. Yeah. Which I guess was why it probably wasn't a surprise that she knew I was pregnant.
Right.
And she would do a lot of Reiki. She would Reiki the jewelry for me until, you know, I started learning Reiki on my own.
Okay. Okay. And it's so interesting. And so wait, so how did you get into doing readings? You mentioned you did readings in college, right? So how did you, like, what type of readings were you doing?
I would do tarot card readings.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm. I would just, I don't know how I got into it or why. I think it was just something I've just always been interested in. And I would do them for my roommates. And it was just maybe more on the down low. I would say my dad's side of the family and, well, everybody in my family's more CPA, lawyer type brain. So I probably wasn't so out there like, hey, do you guys want a reading? But but I will say my dad's been very, very supportive of everything.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then so Will is one of two, meaning he has a twin. And I think he has – and Will's twin is a sister, right? I don't know her name. I'm sorry. What is her name?
Her name's Katie. Katie. It's Catherine and William and Jackson.
Okay.
And then so like the traditional names.
I like them too. Thank you. But with Katie, is she sensitive to energy as well? Like, do you find that she is as responsive as both Jackson and Will are to the crystals too?
I would say Katie was more resistant, meaning anything that I liked, she didn't like there for a while. Anything mom was into, she was into the opposite.
Okay. That's funny. And then, so wait, how old are they now? How old is Katie and Will?
Are you there?
Oh, yep.
Okay.
I'm here.
I'm sorry. I got a phone call. Her and Will turned 14. And so now she's more into it. Like she's like, I think I need to sage my room. Aww. So yes, I would say she's more sensitive than she wanted to admit.
Okay.
Katie is, she's very gifted. And if you know about special education, gifted actually falls underneath the umbrella also as special education.
I did not know that.
Yes, it does. It falls under because she was in gifted programs. She had to also be taken out of the class, but it was more because traditional learning was stifling for her.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you and I have had that conversation about traditional learning as well. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You didn't at all. I mean, traditional learning in general. I had gotten, you know, just a complete side note on education because I could do a whole podcast on that. But when my old principal, and that's another reason I didn't go back to my school. My old principal left, who I loved, and a new one came in, and he came in and said, we're going to go to a full inclusion school. And I was like, not as long as I'm here, because that's completely illegal. The whole basis of special education is individualized education. That is what IDEA and an IEP stand for.
Interesting.
You know, so... Yeah. You have to know how to fight. That's for sure.
That is true. And we should definitely do another podcast about education and, because there's just so much, that can be talked about and can be, you know, really
so much
explored, when it comes to education. But there's one thing that, one thing as we're coming close to the 30 minutes, that I normally try to keep these episodes for, just because otherwise people, you know, their minds start to wander if they're anything like me, which is short attention span. But one thing that I, you know, really want to talk about too is this concept of purpose, right? And I think it's so interesting, Laura, that we started this conversation about your brother Stephen being an angel. And, you know, even though Will was not genetic, and I know Jackson is autistic, so his is genetic, but you have experienced these challenges as you were growing up and now into your adulthood, right? In terms of both caring for and mothering individuals with specific needs, right? And I think it's so interesting because, you know, knowing what Stephen's purpose was, what do you think William and Jackson's purpose is?
Well, I can tell you, as far as William, the OT that was working for him has opened up a brand new clinic in Las Vegas and is going to be opening our first rehab because we're the only place that doesn't have one.
Wow.
And he says Will has inspired everything
That's amazing.
for him. William, you've seen pictures of him. I mean, he's just a ball full of joy. Autism actually is not genetic.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it
No,
was. Thank you for
nope.
correcting me.
No, but I mean, yeah, it's no problem. But it's not genetic. Nobody quite knows exactly with autism. A lot of people think maybe in utero, but who knows? Jackson's purpose, I haven't actually figured out yet. So I'm sure it's going to be something great. And I'm coming to terms with maybe mine is to help heal. Or just to be there for people as they find their purpose, maybe, or to be their voice, even.
Or maybe, just maybe, it is to expand knowledge of holistic healing. It's because I feel like you have demonstrated so much in terms and in both like the special education teacher part of you, as well as using crystals and sharing about energy. And it's really, you don't necessarily, and even based off of what you've shared, you don't necessarily go into the grain. You almost go against the grain very, like, not you're not against the grain, but you are there to advocate for what's right for those who need something different, and also to be able to show another alternative, right? Like, that's kind of what you've done through your entire life, it sounds like.
Well, thank you for, you know, it's hard to see yourself. It's sometimes nice to look in a mirror and have it reflected back to you because it's hard to always see ourselves, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's so amazing because I feel like for you, there's so much more for you and Will and your family to be able to share in terms of good for this world. So I'm so excited to see what else you guys have in store for us. And then, what I also found really fascinating about your story, Laura, is that, there are those of us who kind of meander our way through our authentic success. But for you, it was like you're kind of knocked over the head with
I was very much so.
it. So you're demonstrating that aspect of some of us who, don't necessarily have an option, that you are kind of presented at all different angles, right? With the book that fell out, with everything that's happened in your life, you were just shown like, hey, Laura, crystals, energy.
Well, I'll tell you, and I can leave everybody with this. I was at one of those points where I could have gone down a really depressed road that wouldn't have served anybody. And I decided that I would look at my life from a bird's eye perspective and say, so this is what I've been handed, right? But not as myself, almost like I was pretending to be an angel or a bird and looking at it from a whole other perspective. And so I was like, well, Katie needs somebody to play with her, and Katie needs a happy mom, and Jack needs this. So, in a sense, I think even just having Katie and Jack, and I guess my own decision making, made us roll up our sleeves and play with the things that were pounded over our head, right? The crystals and other things, because it was either one way or the other. So I chose, and that's why I always say joy heals. You have to still tap into your joy. You know, I picture two cancer patients and both have, you know, the same level, the same chemo, and one comes out and one doesn't. And I feel like if you're playing through it and finding tapping to something to still live for and joy and a purpose,
I love that.
to
I love
me, you're
that.
going to have a much better survival rate, or at
Yep.
least the time you do have, you're going to enjoy it.
Yep. I love that. Thank you so much, Laura, for joining
Yours.
us today. Your story is so inspiring, and I honestly cannot wait to see what else you guys have in store for us. And for you guys out there, if you are looking to get in touch with Laura, learn more about her story, or even check out her jewelry, check out her website that will be in the show notes. And it is the Will. 2 WOW. So it's the Will, W-I-L-L, the number 2, W-O-W.com. And she's also available on Instagram. You can reach out to her at Will2Wow. And yeah, we will be having Laura back on and we'll be talking about education. But if you have found inspiration, if you have found joy, and if you have enjoyed learning about Laura's story, please like and follow and share with your friends who will also benefit from hearing Laura's story and the wisdom that she has shared with us today. And until next time, we will talk soon. Bye, everybody.